This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
This is Bob Fitrakis, and breaking news today in Ohio, March 23rd. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives has just disenfranchised potentially 900,000 or nearly 900,000 voters in Ohio, and we're privileged to have with us in the studio Cliff Arnebeck, local attorney, who has, in fact, litigated some of these issues. Cliff, what's the problem with what the Republican Party just did?
Well, it's a repeat of what they did in House Bill 3, only they make it worse. And you know, it's brazen. I mean, it's pretty conspicuous that they're trying to eliminate or make it very difficult for some selected voters in groups that tend to vote Democratic, make it difficult for them to vote, make it expensive for them to vote. It's hypocritical because it's done in the name of a better assuring election integrity, when there's no evidence of voters voting when they don't have a right to vote.
Okay, let me get this straight. The Republican Party allows private contractors with secret source code that no one can look at, that are generally friends of the Republican Party, ESNS and Premier, formerly Diebold, both tied to the Republican Party, Triad, which is a right-to-life Republican family owns it, and that's not a question of integrity?
Absolutely, but that's why I say it's hypocritical. All the evidence, and Bob, how many books have you written on this?
Four, I believe.
All of the evidence, which including not just the books that you've written, but the hearings that we had, all of the evidence indicates that the fraud is being committed on the Republican side, the rogue Republican side, not the Democratic side.
And it seems like this is, that's furthering their objective of disenfranchising voters, really. I mean, it seems like the result is going to be not that they're actually protecting the election from fraud at all, because voter fraud, instances of people voting twice or pretending they're somebody else and going and voting, that's very rare. But the fraud that the vote count companies, the software companies have done has been very widespread. So and those also targeted areas where there was a high Democratic vote. Is that about right?
Yeah. Now, I participated in four of the hearings that took place after the 2004 election. There was only one report of substantial voter fraud. It was a black gentleman who came in after we'd had the formal testimony, and he said that a friend of his had told him that he had been paid with others to go out and vote multiple times. This was a black guy going out into one of the rural counties to vote multiple times. The reason given was that the Democrats had lined up so many people to vote in this election that the Republicans had to do this.
So are you saying that he was paid by the Republicans?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so there were allegations of voter fraud, but not against the Democratic Party. Really, it's a myth. This is what Lori Minetti, who spoke in New York this weekend on a panel that I was on, and who's also written a book with Francis Fox Piven, really on the new black voter suppression, because in many ways, is this not the new Jim Crow? If you require somebody to have a state photo ID, a driver's license, isn't that a new poll tax?
Absolutely. Now, they, in answer to that allegation, they say, well, we're putting in a provision that if someone can't afford the $8 for the state ID, we'll give it to them for free. But they require that the person provide proof of financial need. So it's it's a endless process of putting obstacles in front of people.
Rationing by inconvenience.
Yeah.
Made famous by Ronald Reagan, who, when he became president in the early 1980s, it took 36 pages in states like Arizona, 80 pages in other states to qualify for welfare. So the people that really needed welfare and the most desperate and less intelligent people in terms of formal education couldn't fill out the forms, the ones that needed it, and the ones that could probably get a job if they could fill out 80 pages ended up being eligible, and the ones that needed it were simply destroyed by the requirements.
Here you go, more paperwork.
Hi, if you want to be eligible to vote. And again, the United States, we should make it clear, the United States is the only country of the modern democracies, if we compare it to European Union, that doesn't see voting as a universal right, and when you're 18, you get the right to vote. The odd thing about this, Cliff, is doesn't the government know where a lot of these people live? Don't they get checks, the elderly, from Social Security, the poor welfare checks, or disabled people disability checks? We have proof of their address and their name from actual federal and state checks, but they want a photo ID.
Right.
And how does this fit together? Is this reasonable?
It's not reasonable. It's to pick up on Connie's point about fraud. I mean, this is a fraud because they're saying it's for a purpose that it's not really for. It's for voter suppression. It's partisan voter suppression.
Is it the new Jim Crow?
It's part of it.
So it seems like it's unconstitutional.
It should be found unconstitutional. Right. Now there are some decent attorneys. And actually have a conscience and are principled Republicans in the Senate. It's quite possible that at least they'll oppose it and they'll make the constitutional argument against this.
Well, let's go over some of the facts here. And this is House Bill 159. Once again, the Republican Party raised the specter of the F word. Yes, you know what we're talking about. Fascism. Fascism thrives on hating the other, the disabled, minorities, those that don't fit in to the fascist corporate state. And here's what the Republicans are going to do. They're going to disenfranchise 887,000 voting-age Ohioans, nearly 900,000 people, 25% of them African-Americans, if we go by the national average. 25% of African-Americans don't have government-issued photo IDs. 18% of those over the age of 65 don't have government-issued photo IDs. 15% of those with incomes under $35,000 don't have government-issued photo IDs. Average cost of a driver's license, $23. Price of a birth certificate, $21. Price of a state ID, $8.50. All of this based on no evidence that people are out impersonating voters or double voting. So, what's in common? African Americans tend overwhelmingly, 90% or more, to vote Democratic. Elderly tend to vote Democratic. Poor people tend to vote Democratic. This looks like another blatant attempt to go after poor, minority, elderly voters, the ones that need the government the most. I'm not talking about the unnatural persons the Republicans like. I'm not talking about the too big to fail, we're an investment bank that that we bailed out, those unnatural persons, I'm talking about real flesh and blood people who have been historically discriminated against and who are elderly and who are poor.
What about students, Bob?
Good question. Of course, the Republicans have had a problem with students, Cliff. They've been voting a lot. I mean, really, they were the base of the Obama win, right, in 2008. So they want, if you move into a state and you intend to stay here, the Supreme Court says you have a right to vote. If you're here 30 days, you intend to stay in this state, you can register at your dorm. You can register at your campus. Now they're saying, yeah, but you can't vote unless you have a government-issued photo ID. Do you think they're going to be allowed to vote with their Ohio State student card if it has a picture?
My understanding is they're not allowing that. Again, because the...
How can they not? The Ohio State is the flagship public university. It's not Harvard. It's not one of those private schools.
If they'd all agree not to vote for Democrats and only vote for Republicans, they'd have no problem.
So you think this is clearly partisan?
Absolutely. And Dan Takagi, who has not always been on the right side of some of these issues, on this issue, he's 100% correct.
Okay, so for these reasons, we disagree with him on the private vendors, or occasionally I've called him Dodgy Takagi.
And on exit polling.
But on the voter right bill, you're saying that Daniel Takagi of Moritz College of Law, The Ohio State University, is right on this issue.
He gave great testimony, and he wrote an article on this, and he basically said this is just outright voter suppression, and it puts Ohio and Columbus at the center of the leadership in suppressing voters.
Yeah.
That's a position that he acknowledges. We were recognized for achieving that distinction in the 2004 election. And he's saying now this is. We want to go right back to the top and become disreputable once again.
Here's what he writes in his article. Yet another possibility is a race discrimination lawsuit under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. Ohio's proposed law is part of a phenomena in recent years that I've dubbed the new vote denial. While the old vote denial involved practices like literacy tests and poll tax, the new vote denial is much more subtle. Supporters of modern-day barriers to minority participation cite neutral reasons for their practices, most often, as with Ohio's bill, voter fraud. But voter fraud is a myth, isn't it?
It is. As I say, the only instance I know of it, of voter fraud, was done by Republicans.
But what about those charges that the NAACP and Acorn were given people cocaine to register them to vote?
It's all a fraud by Republicans. And as what you all know, Bob, there were two racketeering suits, one right before the 2004 election against Acorn, NAACP, and AFL-CIO for registering voters. Because they were registering Democrats. And then a similar suit was brought before the 2008 election, and ultimately that suit resulted in Acorn being driven out of existence.
Again, by the way, one of the things I picked up in New York, the guy who made the video on Acorn, which was altered anyway, was caught at a white supremacist group. And the broader question, he refuses to comment. Actual photos of him standing close to a known white supremacist in a small little private group. So it doesn't surprise me, the real obsession, with the guy who dressed up as a fake pimp and then went after National Public Radio. He appears to have been caught at a white supremacist meeting, and more on that in a later show.
So what is it with people dressing up, dressing up as somebody they're not so that they can make people look bad? It seems like that should really just make them look bad.
Well, not only that, the fact that the Brooklyn prosecutor's office said that his tape was altered, that it was not the original tape in the sequence, so he made it seem like the people were saying things that they didn't actually say.
Yeah, I think just the fact that they're dressing up as somebody and lying about who they are should discredit them.
Oh, he broke into, wasn't it, a congressperson's office and tried to tap the phone system?
It's unbelievable. This is.
But of course, white boys will be white boys.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1. And we're joined here in the studio with Cliff Arnebeck, election law lawyer, election lawyer, attorney.
Cliff, on a basic level, and I say this because I'm. I mean, you were a Republican back in the 1980s, and when I first met you in 1990. It's your father's or your Republican Party? I mean, I don't get a feeling these people believe in democracy, Cliff. I hate to say that about a major party, but in the old days, you used to have, you know, Midwestern, socially moderate, somewhat fiscally conservative people. I mean, in the old days, it was the Dixocrats, right? The Southern white Democrats that suppressed the vote in the South. Now it looks the mainstream Republican Party in Ohio, in the Midwest, seem to be going after democracy. What's happening here?
Well, the party has been taken over by people who are, I don't know what to say. There's really no legitimate basis for what they're doing, unless you can find books that explain why apartheid's a good system, why Nazism.
That's a strong word, Cliff. Apartheid?
Yeah, apartheid.
You think they're deliberately going after black voters?
They certainly are. And really, you bring up the new Jim Crow. It goes way beyond voting. I mean, the motive may be the control of our country, but we're using tactics that are worse than apartheid. And Michelle Alexander has described some of our incarceration systems as worse than slavery in their impact on the black family. So this is a systematic approach. It's not just the Jim Crow voting part of it. It's Jim Crow mass incarceration. It's Jim Crow assault tactics against black male youth in the inner city.
Yeah, to say that it's to say that the prison industrial complex is worse than slavery is really saying a lot. And I tend to agree with you, Cliff. In slavery, you know, families were sold and separated and forced to work in fields. With the rash of incarceration that we have in the United States, people are locked up in cages their whole entire lives and not allowed to see their family. So they don't even necessarily get to breathe fresh air or have contact with their families at all. Whereas maybe in slavery, they, you know, did get to spend some time with their families. But it does seem like a systematic way of trying to oppress a group of people.
And that is tripled, and they're tied together in many ways too, right? The mass incarceration of blacks, you can't vote when you're in prison. I mean, they've targeted one minority group disproportionately, and this, of course, the rate of incarceration tripled during the Reagan years, tripled from the 1970s. And shockingly, it was because of drugs and guns in the inner city. But again, that drug trafficking and gun traffic was linked to groups like the CIA and Friends of the U.S. Government, the Contras. So it was a situation, you know. I mean, why not go after the people that we know are linked to the drug trade? George W. Herbert Walker Bush, the father of George W. Bush, the former CIA director. So the people that brought the drugs in, who often got off free because it was national security, they weren't prosecuted. but the people in the inner city who don't have gun companies, who don't have air forces and airplanes, they're the ones who went to jail.
Yeah, there's a book that I think we've talked about on an earlier show, Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, Mass and Incarceration.
She's an African-American.
She's African-American. She's teaches at the Moritz School of Law. She's also has an appointment with the Kerwin Institute on Race and Ethnicity. But she's documented in meticulous detail the fact that drug use that was being prosecuted was no greater in the black community than it was in the white community. But the predominant prosecution activity was against the black community. So it's Jim Crow. It's not against crime. It's for the criminalization of a particular group.
And that group is, again, the group that tends to disproportionately vote Democratic. When you target blacks for felons, you essentially allow the Republican Party to win with as the real minority. The real minority party in America in terms of votes is the Republican Party. The only way they can win is by shrinking the electorate, by turning their back on democracy, by creating Jim Crow voting patterns, by targeting people in the inner city for the second-class back-of-the-bus ballots, provisional ballots, by demanding state photo IDs when you know who these people are. Many of them get checks, or the elderly, many of those people who are white, who are no longer, they're the useless eaters that the fascists hate so much. They're the elderly. These people are known to the government. We know where they live. We can easily register them to vote. What needs to be done is every election official, even the ones that are chicken here in Franklin County, need to take a digital camera, just at conferences I go to nursing homes, take a picture of everyone in that nursing home, and issue them a voter ID for free. I'm calling on the Franklin County Board of Election and those incredibly gutless and soulless Democrats who have stood by during this mass disenfranchisement to go to the nursing homes, to go to the colleges, to take a digital camera. We'll even loan you one at the Free Press. Contact us here at the Columbus Free Press, freepress.org. Email us. We'll give you a camera. We'll show you how to do it. Create your own government ID from the Board of Elections. What are the Republicans going to do then? Wouldn't it be interesting when they say, these aren't official IDs. They were issued by the Board of Elections.
And by the way, if anyone from the Board of Elections does want to come and check out a camera, we'll need to copy your driver's license.
Yeah, well, good thing Matt Damschroeder's now running the state election, because, you know, we'd never get the camera back with his history of integrity.
You know, another angle on this, Bob, it relates to another subject you're an expert on, is the fact that they build these prisons for housing. What is it? We have 25% of the world's population in prison?
Yeah, 25% of all the people in prison on planet Earth are in prison in the United States.
Right.
Which, by the way, passes Joe Stalin's record of incarceration. So we are still number one in certain areas.
Well, that's not a good statistic for the land of the free.
Well, which is mythology. I mean, and one of the key reasons, this is where you're targeting blacks, is, right, this war on drugs. So on the one hand, the Republicans let these big pharmaceutical companies synthesize heroin and call it OxyContin, right, and mess around with people who don't like working in cubicles for corporations, serotonin uptake inhibitors, happy pills, right? That's okay. But if someone smokes a little pot or does an illegal drug, instead of seeing it as a medical problem if they're addicted, you criminalize it, put them in jail, and treat them viciously.
And to show how systematic it is, they build the prisons in rural areas. And they count that prison population as from that area, even though they really come from urban areas. So it counts to increase the congressional representation, the Senate and the House representation in the state legislature. All those people down in Chillicothe
Interesting.
In prison.
They can't vote, and they don't get the they don't get counted where they were arrested and actually live and will return to, but instead we're inflating
the
Lebanon, Ohio, by creating a prison there.
Mm-hmm. Lovely.
Well, this is Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton. How should we fight this, Cliff?
Well,
other than with hammer and tong. Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Arise, ye... Oh, forget that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the key is to outlaw criminal tools in the election process.
Are you calling the Republicans tools?
You cannot have...
Good one, Bob.
You cannot have voting machines which are designed to allow fraud, for fraud, encourage fraud.
It's like burglars coming to your house with locksmith tools. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And we need the FBI to say, wait a minute, these are burglary tools, and they cannot be allowed they have no standing to be used in the election process. Because what's happening, we have all kinds of problems, but when the Senate Bill 5, the AFL-CIO says, well, we're going to take this to the ballot. Well, they get their candidates elected by cheating at the ballot. Now they pass legislation hostile to public interest. You say, well, we'll have a referendum. Well, they'll rig that vote too. We have to restore the integrity of the election process.
And I'm beginning to think a lot of this can only be done through massive referendums and exposure. The problem is people aren't really familiar with what they're doing with these private machines, or that they're even being outsourced to vendors close to the Republican Party.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty bad conflict of interest. I would just like to say that, you know, this is a country that's founded on certain ideals, and whether we live up to those ideals or not really says a lot about us as Americans. I think that, you know, we have voting now for women, for men who don't own property, and for all adults in the United States, and we need to fight to protect that, because otherwise it'll be taken away from us. Really, everybody should be voting. I think voter turnouts really average about 50%, and that's a pretty big problem. We need people participating in democracy if we're going to have democracy at all. So get out there, make sure that you're registered to vote, make sure that your ID is up to date, and check ahead of time.
People really need to vote by absentee, don't they?
You can do early voting. Absentee voting, does that get counted with the rest of the vote?
It's counted first at the beginning of the night, then Republicans actually do it.
Okay.
When they're away at that second home.
So, and it sounds like they're not having some of these requirements with the voter ID.
And you get to vote on paper.
Yeah. You vote on paper. You don't have to show ID if you vote absentee. You can also take advantage of early voting if that's still available under our new Secretary of State. I definitely encourage people to participate in democracy and fight for your rights. And, you know, hopefully there will be some litigation coming out of this unconstitutional legislation.
All right, this is Bob Fitrakis wrapping up here on WCRS. Thanks a lot, Connie and Cliff Arnebeck. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studios. Fight back.
Good to be with you.